But we would love for more people to get involved in the collective.
Now, that was actually going to be my last question. How can people get involved, and how would you like people to get involved?
Getting involved starts, I would say, with just commenting on an article that's already on the site. You know, then you go and you post your own article. You observe what's happening in your society. You learn about some upcoming event. You just start publishing content. It's really easy. You just click on publish an article, and you just fill it in just like an email. Really simple. And, you know, from there you can get involved in the listserv, which is a great way to get involved. And that is, you send an email to, or do you just go to, I don't know, just go to our website and go to contact us. And there's information about joining the listserv. And just, you know, get out there, get a camera if you can, start taking some photos, get a notebook, start jotting down some notes. Just, you got to get yourself involved.
Now, you're saying that's one thing that's sorely lacking. Sorely lacking in the Santa Cruz IMC is somebody to publish video content.
Right, yeah. There's been video published on Santa Cruz in the past, but not in a while. And that's, you know, it's just so funny that, you know, I've talked to my friend Aaron, and he said, yeah, I was down in Uruguay, and it's like, They somehow got the funds to get a video camera, you know, and then they use the thing all over town and they report, and there's so much activism in the community. Here we are in Santa Cruz, in California.
More activism happening right now in this town than has happened in years. And as long as I've lived here, and I've lived here over 10 years, you know, which ain't a whole lot, but there's way more activism going on now than anything I've ever seen before.
And we're, you know, Silicon Beach here. We have so much access so much access to technology. You know, you can rent cameras if you don't have one, which is, you know, you can rent them from community television. If you're a student, you can rent them from UC. Maybe Cabrillo has a program. And, you know, if it's something that you're dedicated to, you might be able to save up the funds and get yourself a camera and just start making it happen yourself.
Yeah, get off your butt. Yeah. Make the media. Become the media.
That's right.
Become the media.
A lot of the audio content is getting published from people that are already very involved in the audio activist movement. People like Skinmark Bob and the V-Man, who are Free Radio Santa Cruz programmers.
Did I hear a rapping at the door?
I heard a knock.
Okay, so we're going to wrap up this interview then. Once again, check out the Santa Cruz Indie Media website, santacruz.indiemedia.org. And a quick thing is, like, you should especially get, we'll be with you just a second. You should especially get involved if you're a college student and you're interested in an internship in media. This would be a great place because you could pick and choose what kind of media you want an internship in, and you could get really, like, quote, on-the-job skills and college credits working for Santa Cruz Indie Media. And, of course, any activist who wants to work on media, please get involved. And you, the listener, viewer of media in Santa Cruz, should definitely be checking out santacruz.indiemedia.org. And we're going to put on some music here.
Make media, make trouble.
Make the media, make trouble. Oh, man. What trouble? Did we get ourselves into trouble? I don't know. Okay, so we're going to put on a little folk song.
All right, thank you, Ian.
You're welcome. And, thank you for putting in all that great work on, whatchamacallit?
Santa Cruz Indie Media.
Santa Cruz Indie Media.
Wait, one more thing to say that's really important is that Santa Cruz Indie Media and all indie medias, none of them have any official spokespersons or anything like that. I'm just a member of the community, no different from you, and I just got involved. Not an official spokesperson or anything like that. So become the media, make it happen.
Cool. Open source publishing.
When those pesky natives whine, because it's fine. I love my mind. I knew who I would be when I was 8 years old. When I...
As our story opens, the meeting of Crime Incorporated is in session.
Well, boys,
The first part of our plan is underway. The city officials are scared. Our next move is to terrorize the citizens themselves.
How?
The guy I hired last night, Spangler Van Norden, he calls himself, says he's a wrestler.
You know, it's a big one.
Yeah, but he ain't fooling me. He's got brains.
What did I use him for?
Hold on.
Thank you.
I don't know, and I don't care. He won't use a gun for
how do you expect
him to come up in back of a guy in the dark? Give him the old hugger-mugger with his arm around his neck. Grab him and let him drop.
That's well, no noise in him.
That's right.
There's a devil, and we just got the wrong one in calling the shots?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You listened to the show before?
Yes, sir, for a while now.
How long?
About 2 years.
2 years?
Yes.
You've listened to me 2 years, and you still worship Lucifer?
Yes.
Well, you have to go down at the top of my list of all-time great failures. I don't mean you're a failure. I mean I'm a failure. Well, you're a failure, too.
Why is that?
Danny, I've been exposing for years who Lucifer is and what he does, and you have heard over and over again who Christ is and what he does, and you still buy this ridiculous argument that Lucifer is really a nice guy?
Well, there are both sides to all stories.
My brutal as God. My God has invented in creating silly testing and universal power through a greed, and I'm a blasphemer. Feeling the thing is my spirit rising in the mile from the tide. It's my child. Like a parade is full of righteous and light of my soul. I sing and dance and got me thrilling with some reason for the whole label. My religion is to save my soul. The most connected to Lord. Oh, Lord, that I get the land. The damn I collect. The seven version of his sacrament. Weakens my actual to be regiment.
And stay tuned for Bathrop Spears Broadsides with interviews aplenty and a special guest. Stay with us.
Thank you. got a housewife that's singing this song. Wearily, it's merely a good woman's day, cooking and cleaning and tidying away. If ever you finish, remember that when you wake up tomorrow, it all starts again.
And that was Peggy Seeger. Hang on here. We're having a little trouble with my mic indicators. You can hear me, but I can't see that I'm talking. Now I'm good. This is Free Radio, 96.3 FM. Nope, that's the old one. We're at 101.1 FM. Boy, we used to be at 96, but we used to be at 89, but that's another story. Now we are at 101.1 and www.freakradio.org. If you happen to be out of the area, which I guess most of the world is, but some tune in from other places, and we appreciate that. If you want to call in, the phone number is 831-427-3772. My name is Robert Norse, and this is Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. No bathrobe on at the moment, but I keep it in the closet ready to roll in case we have a few direct action protests that might move the city a little closer to decriminalizing things like homelessness. like laws that make it difficult for people simply to survive on the streets and about the community for those who don't have housing or lodging. That's one of the key themes of this show. The show runs until 1 o'clock. It's a long show. Today I'm going to be doing a little something different. I have in the studio a patient guest who's going to be hanging with us. His name is Glenn Rabinold, and he has been with us before. Hi, Glenn.
Hello.
And Glenn is an actual homeless person. I was able to grab him and bring him into the studio. I actually persuaded him. Didn't need to use any force.
Well, actually, I requested this interview because I have a project that I'm starting, and I know that this show is devoted to the homeless, and I am actually truly a homeless person. So I wanted to present my project. I gained no personal gain for 5 years or any resemblance of personal gain, and it has a noble.
And we're going to be talking about that project. I'm going to actually, however, we're going to do a little something first because I'm going to need a little time to prepare some other stuff. So for those who want to hang tough, this actually we're beginning to be talking about this probably around 10 or 10:10 thereabouts. In the meantime, you're going to be hearing the Flying Poetry Circus with Chris Chandler and Anne Feeney, a wandering minstrel show. That's going to be going on for a while, but I will be back. This really is Bathrop Spears Broadsides, no kidding. You can join the chat room at www.pagesincolor.com, www.pagesincolor, one word, small letters, pagesincolor.com. There may be nobody on it for a while, but probably around 10 or 10:15, it's going to start to hop or maybe crawl, who knows. And you can also email me at rnorse3, R-N-O-R-S-E-3, at hotmail.com. So all that, and heaven too, if you stay tuned, and who knows, maybe we'll hear from you. So stay with us for more of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Or perhaps less of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. If I get this equipment rolling, I'll be a happy lad. I think we're okay. All right.
Jack Kerouac in the back parking lot of a Stop and Go. He was pouring wild turkey in a Slurpee, sitting on the hood of a Yugo. Well, we went on the road on a changeless scene, and headlights rolled past my eyes like the rolling flash of a Xerox machine. Have we all gone blind from polystyrene signs? Endless replications of strip mall situations, fast food attitudes, and telemarketing platitudes.
What have you done to my road? What have you done to my America? The interstate made the United States, the United States
of Generica.
Going where the climate suits my clothes. I'm going where the climate suits my clothes. Going where those chilly winds don't blow, Lord, Lord. I ain't gonna be treated this way.
I seen Walt Whitman and Woody Guthrie on the front seat of a 74 Camaro. They were going down the road feeling bad from bad burgers, ordering food from a drive-thru window. Well, we ran our caravan into the parking lot of a Piggly Wiggly, where we all stared in awe at a postage stamp of Elvis. Well, we all believed that he was the king, though I think we could agree right now that poetry has got no time for monarchy. I heard a street corner poet say one time that rock and roll was once a threat, but these days rock and roll is a time life anthology. Oh, but rock and roll will live forever, Jack. It lives on in the form of Muzak. That's why I am shopping for eternity. And Walt Whitman went wild on the pharmaceutical aisle. It was number 21. And he did depart with a shopping cart full of multicolored condoms. And you remember what Walt Whitman said? He said, I sing the body electric. Oh, yes, I sing the body electric. I sing the body electric. But these days, I do it safely.
What have you done to my road? Tell me, what have you done to my America? The interstate made the United States. The United States
of generica.
It takes a $5 shoe to fit my feet. It takes a $5 shoe to fit my feet. These $2 shoes hurt my feet. Lord, Lord, I ain't gonna be treated this way.
William Blake hitchhiking on old Route 66. I said, is it better out there in the sticks where there's not a sign of a Kmart? Did Ma and Pa sell the family store? Are they now employed at the Walmart? But he said, don't despair. There is poetry everywhere. We clicked up the electric windows and flipped on the air and told stories about hitchhiking, quoting Baudelaire. And remember what Baudelaire said? He said, if you're going to get drunk, stay drunk. On wine, on virtue, on poetry. You know, William Blake once said, I saw in a single grain of sand an epiphany. But you know, my friends, we could all see eternity in a single grain of NutraSweet. But I am going down the road feeling bad. But you know, Woody Guthrie, like you taught me, man, I ain't gonna be treated this away. Cause I seen Jack Kerouac in the back parking lot of a Stop and Go.
Wrestling with his demon. Right, it wasn't really a demon per se. He was just really annoying. And we weren't exactly wrestling. I was just kind of dodging his phone calls. But they were really annoying phone calls from this figure straight out of hell.
Papa, did you bring me a silver?
Well, not hell exactly.
Papa, did you bring me gold?
But close. He was from a collection agency.
Have you come to see me hanging?
You see, I purchased Salvation on my credit card. Well, not Salvation exactly, but close. It was $500 worth of books on self-improvement, miracle diets, and books on angels. Not to mention the added expense of a really comfortable chair from which to seek salvation upon.
Oh, we're gonna fly down in the easy chair.
Now, I am comfortable with the fact that a comfortable chair allows me to be comfortable while I'm reading these books that teach me to be comfortable with myself, but some of you soul-numb skeptics might deride the fact that I have purchased over $500 worth of takeout pizza during this period of self-improvement, but how else could I possibly absorb all the information in my diet books if I am simply too hungry to concentrate? This, after all, is a battle for my soul, or even more important, my credit rating, which is infinitely intertwined with my feelings of self-worth, which is infinitely intertwined with my need for self-help books, which is, well, you get the point. I simply had to purchase these books on my Lord and MasterCard. Since when is the higher power concerned with diet books? When was he not?
Hey, this here gent wants one meatball.
He convinced the Jews to stay kosher, the Muslims to stay clear of swine, the Protestants to add mayonnaise to everything. The way I figure it, the higher power could definitely inspire a best-selling diet book, which gets me back to my holy war with my credit agency.
There's a man going round taking names.
These guys claim that my entire life story will fit on file in their computer. My entire life story has come to this.
It took my daddy's name and it left me here in pain. There's a man going round taking names.
A billion angels dancing on the head of a microchip. Now, that's some diet to be able to do that, but where do these guys get off saying that I am a deadbeat? You know, if I ever see that smug son of a motherboard in public, I'm going to call it out. But you can't. You can't fight what you can't see. It's like trying to take a swing at the gods themselves. Only the way I see it, the corporations are the gods themselves. They are faceless, elusive entities that speak in these only in these vague, cryptic symbols known as logos. In fact, you don't even know they're there until they're hitting you up with a corporate collection plate.
Say, don't you remember? I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare a dime?
Today, even Zeus would fall, overwhelmed and defeated before the great god Walmart. The gods aren't dead. They're just out shopping. Aphrodite bought a nightie at Victoria's Secret while Eros joined a recovery group for sex addiction. He traded in his bow and arrows at the sporting goods department for a 9mm, was last seen heading to a high school in the Deep South to start an NRA safety club, of course. But now Jesus, he's learned the score. He learned from his many years of hanging around the poor and wretched that there is a better way to market to them. His plan is to put in a megastore called Save Mart. Put one in every town in the USA. Put those pitiful Main Street churches out of business for good. He's more powerful than the Son of God. He's the CEO. For God so loved the world, he bought the company.
Oh, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Oh, Father, please forgive me, as I forgive those who have bounced checks to me. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of too many inquiries and a poor debt-to-credit ratio, I would fear no evil if I just had a better credit rating. In the meantime, I'll settle for the holy deliverance.
Hey, Peter, don't
of takeout
call
pizza
I can't go
on earth
on
as it is
to
in
the
heaven. Was a shapeless, chaotic mass. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And God looked into that darkness and he said, let there be Prozac.
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day.
Okay, it was in the middle of last Wednesday and the darkness was actually across my agitated brain and the chaos was strewn across my living room. And that's when the Lord said, by Lord, I mean a power greater than myself, which means, of course, having to have a job, which means never exhibiting too much joy or sorrow in public places. Now, it was this God of everyday insanity that said, let there be Prozac.
Sunshine.
And there was Prozac.
On my shoulder.
It was good.
Makes me happy.
And so it came to pass that I, too, cleaned my apartment. And it blossomed into Eden. And the corporate trees bloomed abundant with pharmaceutical fruit. And there was much rejoicing, for all common household stains and odors had been eliminated. Perhaps even the last tears had fallen, for all glasses that were removed from the dishwasher were now virtually spotless.
And though she is not really ill,
and in this new
there's
land,
a little yellow pill.
All dinner conversation was light and witty and non-confrontational, and no one cared when seating arrangements involved sitting next to the serpent, for he too is is well-medicated, though a flunky, being paid in stock options at a startup company called treeofknowledge.com.
I shouted out, who killed the Kennedys? When after all, it was you and me. Pleased to meet you. Hello.
Satan no longer sinks before my medicine chest. The pharmaceutical evangelists read from their prescription scriptures, and the signs above the gates of hell read, abandon your medication. But it is the damned that are happily medicated. Eternal damnation is not that bad if you're medicated in the right state of mind for it. Ask anyone who works 10 hours a day and then commutes 2 hours each way.
Outside the door, she took 4 more. What a drag it is.
A well-medicated Satan no longer sows
getting
discord.
Old.
In the corporation of Eden. For he knows a more loving and patient God when he sees one. For God, too, is well-medicated, though the side effects may include dry mouth, blurred vision, and divine wrath. Satan no longer slithers away, humiliated by a second vanishing, for hell is better than Club Med. The River Styx is now brimming with recreational boatings, and a marina with slot machines and riverboat gambling. Hell has casual Fridays
one
and time-sharing damnation.
And one pill makes you small, and the ones that Mother gives you don't do anything at all.
But why does my heart not feel it?
So ask Alice.
It is not swept clean by the rising serotonin tide. Why do I at times wish to take to my bed and pull the sheets up over my head, despite all these rumors of impending paradise? It is because I do not wish to live in Teletubby land. I do not wish to dwell in the house of some creepy, infantile, totalitarian paradise that looks like the contents of baby Adolf Hitler's acid trip.
Who can take a rainbow, wrap it in the sky, soak it in the sun, and make a groovy lemon pie? The Candyman can.
All of my dreams are not inexorably intertwined with the things that I buy.
The Candyman can, cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
I hear this voice in my head admonishing loudly at perfect dinner parties that I can no longer take these fraudulent niceties. My heart can take it no more. In this bloated bacchanal of self-satisfaction and greed, who speaks for the forsaken? As soil and water evaporate like the contents of a crack pipe? Now who? Who would see that but the depressed? But what happens when the depressed are all jacked up on pharmaceutical cure-alls, living in a world where all is well? What happened to that voice that expounds, perhaps there can be another way? 'Cause you see, if I could just find a thrift store suit that would never fray, a lime green gremlin that would never mechanically falter, a shotgun shack that would never splinter or crumble, then that would be enough. But finding that not possible, all I wish to find is a durable heart. And if that heart could swell with gratitude for these small necessities, then I would surely find heaven's flower blooming in my backyard. And I'll bet you it's there right now. And I would don my humility hat and my gratitude shoes and leave the house at a beatific noon. And if I should see your oceanic heart in sandcastle promises of eternal devotion, then that would be enough. And if we were to tour through the park and be greeted by 10,000 shades of April's green, each shade distinct, perhaps even idiosyncratic, maybe longing for singular attention, a moment's distinction in contrast from the pervasive canopy. Or if we were to simply happen upon one single tenacious weed,
sprouting from an unkept gutter, then that would be enough to see it standing, defiant, singular, rising its head in the chaotic world, not needing to be watered with Prozac, then that alone would surely be enough. Now some will say that we lost our innocence when a young president's skull was blown into a pink mist in Dallas. But up to that point, the only threat to our innocence had been watching Annette Funicello sprout breasts on national television. And although our prepubescent minds were fogged with lust, we really had nothing to fear because Annette Funicello's breasts were not that threatening. They were more like breastketeers.
Step it out, Mary, my fine daughter. Step it out, Mary, if you can. Step it out, Mary, my fine daughter. Show your legs to the country man.
But still we wait for the return of Valium Yellow Sunshine to burn a hole in this fog and return our world into a pastel paradise. But it does not come. And as we wait, bullets fly as thick as hormones in the halls of high schools, and CNN reports once again that this is our loss of innocence. And so I ask you, how many times can our innocence be lost? I mean, as a prostitute who suffers total amnesia, now declared a virgin.
I have come to court your daughter, Mary of the Golden Hair. I have gold and I have silver, I have lands beyond compare.
How can we be innocent when we consciously plowed our fertile prairies into furrows and planted rows and rows and rows of dead Indians and watered them with the sweat of African slaves and asked the good Lord above for the ground to be fruitful and multiply by performing a ritualistic salesman's tap dance? And the good Lord responded, and the ground was indeed fruitful. And it did indeed multiply. And it bloomed forth office parks, strip malls, and subdivisions. It seems to me that the prototypical American is Mary Kay, accessorized with a Gatling gun.
I will buy her silk and satin and a gold ring for her hand. I'll build for her a mansion. She'll have servants to command.
Did we innocently steal this land? Like, when I was a kid, right, I wanted a skateboard, but see, my mother wouldn't let me have one, so I took one anyway. But she made me return it, giving me a lecture on mine and yours and theirs, until one day my mother said, "Be careful with your little sister." And I thought, ah, she's my little sister. So I took her up the street and I traded her to Kenny Jones for a skateboard.
Step it out, Mary, my fine daughter. Step it out, Mary, if you can. Step it out, Mary, my fine daughter. Show your legs to the country man.
Is this the way that we innocently stole this land? Like a child steals? Or like my dog will eat from the bowl of another because she is still connected with the oneness, with the holy oneness of everything. And let me tell you, that is beautiful, but it is a strangely Zen concept for a property-owning nation.
Kind sir, I love a soldier. I have promised him my hand. I don't want your silk nor satin. I don't need your house nor land.
Is this the way that we innocently killed and are still killing tens of thousands of guilty Iraqi civilians? Because a bomb does kill innocently. A bomb itself cannot decipher innocence from guilt. A truly smart bomb would be able to blow the guilty to bits, but leave one whose character leans to the decent, hey, and buy him a round of drinks. Somebody is guilty of, say, a little too much vanity, you just leave them clad in clothes off the racks from JCPenney. Sort of a smart-ass bomb. One more Groucho Marx than John Wayne.
Mary's father spoke up sharply. You will do as you are told. You'll marry him on Sunday and you'll wear the band of gold.
But these are the fogs and mysteries of our recent history. And our history is indeed a mystery. But a mystery requires a great detective. And the best detectives are not Angela Lansbury teaming up with Andy Griffith and Dick Van Dyke and whatever down-on-their-luck actor hadn't worked in 20 years, looking for any role they can get. I don't know, the Partridge Family Murder Mystery Series, where they travel around the country in a psychedelic minivan, solving impossible and plausible crimes the last 5 minutes. The guilty are locked up so they can guiltlessly consume whatever products are advertised after the miraculous denouement.
In the village of Kilstoran, there's a deep stream running by. They found Mary there at midnight. She drowned with her soldier boy. In the cottage there is music. You can hear her daddy say, "Step it out, Mary, my fine daughter. Sunday'll be your wedding day."
It is time, my friends, for us to stop declaring ourselves innocent. Say, hey, I was nowhere near the scene of the crime. I was watching reruns of Top Cops at the time. But still, I am the murderer.
Step it out, Mary, my fine daughter.
Or do we continue to declare ourselves innocent?
Step it out, Mary, if you can.
See, goddamn right, I'm innocent, and I'm going to kill anyone who doubts it.
Step it out, Mary, my fine daughter.
And I will enter heaven if I have to climb the mountain of corpses beneath me. It's a genuine carnival of old, complete with cabinet freak shows, corporate strongmen, foreign policy roller coasters, and multinational corporate clowns. We've got phony media pitchmen hyping an election like carnival hucksters, pitching a rigged game that was impossible to win, leaving us to pick the cheap prize that no one really wanted. George W. Bush, a tiny stuffed buffoon, standing on the trophy shelf to the extreme right of his father, Ronald Reagan, and Richard Nixon.
Hey, you with the red checkered hat on, would you like to see what you've won? A world of adventure is waiting for you behind door number one.
See the puppet show with a return visit from many old favorites from the original cast. Yes, my friends, we have Dick Cheney as Elmer Fudd, Donald Rumsfeld as Yosemite Sam, and Jesse Helms as just plain Goofy.
For tonight's performance, the role of Clarence Thomas will be played by Al Jolson.
Colin Powell plays Pluto, Mickey Mouse's vicious guard dog who seems to have lost or maybe never had any genitalia. This show once featured Ronald Reagan as a marionette for big business, but now the same old guys have their hands stuck so far up the tight rectal sphincter of little George that they can operate him like a hand puppet.
Thrills, spills, and adventures. You'll cry and you'll scream and you'll laugh. Take a peek behind the red door.
George's traveling carnival and perpetually privatized medicine show. We got you working stiff Ferris wheel, the Dow Jones freefall, public waterways turned into a tunnel of love canal. Our whole culture seems like George Jr.'s big funhouse, where his claims are so distorted they can only be viewed in the funhouse mirror. But his point of view is so distorted that when you see it in the funhouse mirror, the reflection seems normal. He claimed he's getting government off our backs by getting rid of Medicare, Social Security, PBS, and the public library system. He wants to get government off our backs and into our bedrooms. But the real reason he wants to get government off our backs is because he wants to keep screwing us, but George only likes it in the missionary position.
Would you like to buy a bottle? We swear you will never grow old. It takes a line from your face, it'll get you a date on his cure.
reflected by the overwhelming indifference of the American people, recent public opinion polls show them divided between the paranoid and the lazy. 15% claiming that George W. Bush stood for everything they ever believed in and pregnant Chad should be carried to term, except when the life of the mother is at stake. 24% claiming that George W. Bush put at risk everything they ever believed in and that Dimple Chad were somehow connected to the Kennedy assassination, while the vast majority of people, 61%, had no idea what they believed in the first place and therefore could formulate no opinion.
The bright lights make you dizzy as the big wheel spins you around. You can almost till the big wheel brings you down.
We Americans seem to bask in the golden comfort of the familiar, electing not a president, but more of a commissioner of baseball for the multinational league, as the carnival expands until a full-fledged theme park of the prosaic. Six firms over America, as strip malls and department stores homogenize every speck of variety, so the only sense of innovation we have anymore is new and different ways to export super-sized blandness to every possible customer in the global theme park. At the food court, we may have to convince Mexicans just what a Chalupa Supreme is, but Taco Bell, it's the people's taco. Registered trademark. But that's nothing compared to the McMuslim burger, a samosa with cheese, McHoof and mouth disease, and KFCIA.
Go see Madam Zelda. Her crystal is true to the end. Her powers are truly amazing. She knows just how much you will spend.
Rolling blackouts in California ruin a perfect wilderness for a quart of natural gas. Dick Cheney makes $36 million in 1 year from oil profits. Ruin a perfect wilderness for a quart of natural gas. It's like a mantra or a sing-along being sung by Disney-like mechanical heads of state operated by the all-powerful Wall Street Wizards of Oz. Pay no attention to that corporation behind the flag. And no matter how many times they sing, ruin a perfect wilderness for a quart of natural gas. Cut taxes for the rich and give the poor a bath. Find a new enemy, we're tired of bombing Iraq. But no matter how many times they sing it, it still ends with the same old line. It's a small mind after all.
And go home to my Lord and be free.
Now who said slavery has been abolished? It seemed to me that the rules, they were only polished. Yeah, polished like the Formica and the Chrome at the Ronald McDonald Plantation Burger Home. Seemed to me that things have remained pretty much the same. I mean, what's the difference between outright slavery and $5 and some change?
I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. You know I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Well, at least they gave the slaves free housing in the fields of the Southern Confederation. But these days, they got to keep the quarters so far out of sight, they got to be bussed into the suburban plantation. And then they take their positions behind the cash register. You ever notice they got pictures of menus right there on the keys? Because like in the old South, they still don't teach slaves how to read. They've replaced the heat of the Mississippi sun for a hot grill and a sesame seed bun. Now, I don't know what's going to cure this evil. What we need about now is a sesame seed bow evil.
Well, if I could, I surely would stand on that rock where Moses stood when Pharaoh's army got drowned. Oh,
Mary, don't you weep. Now if you miss me in the cotton
field, yeah, they've been plotting something rotten. Yeah, burgers are the new cotton in the fast food confederacy. In the indentured servants industry, there's a new slave ship conspiracy. It's a fast food confederacy. Now over at Domino's Pizza, it's the right to life movement that your dollar does pay, because they want to make sure that everything gets delivered so they can breed them a new crop of slaves. In Kentucky Fried Chicken, they're the only one of them that's honest, but I won't say brave, because at least Colonel Sanders, he looks like he owns slaves. Now for singing this song, I might just get lynched by the mob over at the Circle K. KK. But don't give me no tombstones, just put the golden arches over my Chick McGrave.
And that was Chris Chandler and Ann Feeney's Flying Poetry Circus, most of it anyway. You can actually check out their stuff at baldchandler@yahoo.com and unionmade, that's one word, small letters, unionmade at earthlink.net. Again, baldchandler, baldchandler, one word, small letters, baldchandler@yahoo.com, uniformmade@earthlink.net. Great stuff. I played selections of it before, but I've never played the whole thing. And at least most of the whole thing, not quite the whole thing. There was one last selection, but I want to get a little of my own stuff in here. Plus, I have a guest that's been patiently waiting here for goodness knows half an hour. So here's a chance for a little live radio. This is your radio, 427-3772 is the number to call if you want to call into the station. You can also give a call to the station off-air at 427-4523 in case you want to be a member of the station's collective, you want to donate something to the station, perhaps you have a public service announcement you want us to repeat periodically. That's another option for you. This is a community radio station. We broadcast 24 hours a day. We are unlicensed. What we say is nobody's fucking business. Actually, it's everybody's fucking business. As you can see, we use the language we feel appropriate to the moment. And so we are uncensored and unlicensed, and in fact have been recently attacked by the FCC. That is to say, 4 months ago now, they came to our door, but they had no search warrant, so they had to go away. But one of these days they may be back. Other stations have been closed down, in which case we hope to reopen again with community support. In order to get that support, we need you to support us. That seems pretty clear. So do that, 427-4523. Call into the show and let me know what you think about what's cooking, what you're hearing. 427-3772 is the on-air number. You can also reach me off-air in terms of the kind of work I do in the community, which is civil rights for those outside and just general concerns about police misconduct, as well as keeping an eye on the silly council. Sometimes called the shitty council, depending on the intensity of my frustration at the moment. That's our Santa Cruz City Council, headed by Mayor. He's running for re-election. Please don't re-elect him, Scott Kennedy. A vain hope, perhaps, but nonetheless one which I will voice repeatedly in the months ahead prior to the November 2nd election. Well, in the studio with me is Glenn Rabinold. Glenn is a Huff member. He has actually been the originator of surveys at the Homeless Service Center to find out just what homeless people do want, what their concerns are. This is actually a real homeless person. Huff is often accused of being a bunch of middle-class flakes, fluffheads, and ideologues who don't seem to really represent homeless people. We've actually never claimed to represent homeless people, but we do include houseless people. And Glenn occasionally shows up at the meetings when he's not traveling abroad to Nicaragua or Venezuela or wherever the hell he's. You've been traveling around the world off and on.
I wanted to make a point here. One of the survey I did circulate. One of the surprising things, even to me, although I've been homeless for like 20 years, was that homeless people come from all walks of life. So that if by listening to me, you think you're going to get a representative opinion from the homeless community, unfortunately you'll have to get many opinions because we're all diverse. So, anything that I say, I don't think you should really interpret it as the opinion of a large number of people, but the opinion of one homeless person.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, no question. And you, but you are a man who I mention in this context, not just because you are houseless, but because you have spent a significant amount of time concerning yourself with the issues of houseless people. I've seen you speak up at meetings and I've been essentially told to fuck off by the authorities that be.
We have one of the things that's kind of interesting is as a homeless person, especially new homeless people, one of the, here I'm talking about things we have in common already. One of the things that tends to happen is a process of denial of our own homelessness. Coming from other walks of life, and that there comes a point in one's life when one agrees with the title of homelessness and say, well, I am now homeless. At least in my life, this is what happened. I had my civil rights finally actually stripped by police illegal quote-unquote arrest, not arrest, mental health unit, intake 5150. And with no substantiation other than a previous of the same, nothing. They didn't have any legal anything. So that's when I got out, I decided now I'm homeless.
Hmm. How long have you been in and around the Santa Cruz area?
Well, let's see. My half sister lived here. I first checked it out in 1980, and I've been here off and on quite a bit. I've only spent 5 winters out of the area in, the whole time.
Well, maybe I should ask you a few obvious questions before you go into, and you have some rather elaborate and looks like, well, even I might be able to read
actually,
them.
I took these well-written notes. I took these notes actually for a lot more in the show was to write everything down that I was going to need for the project itself, the basic stuff I need for the project itself, and I don't really want to read from my notes.
Okay, well, that's good. I think it's always good if you can do it live. I'm always told when I speak to groups of people, whether it's the city council or someone else, that I'm more effective if I don't read from a piece of paper, but... Yeah. I like reading for pieces of paper. It makes me feel more secure. I can get through the three minutes, and so forth.
Yeah, you get through the material.
Say more. But nonetheless, I mean, we've got, I think, a little bit more time here. But let me ask you a few sort of preliminary things before we get into your project. You've involved yourself in a number of projects over the years regarding people who are outside, right?
Right, yeah. I've worked on a lot of projects. My interest in homeless people is the problem that, as you know, HCRC was started by a homeless man. I remember when he carried the...
Homeless Community Resource Center?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now the Homeless Service Center, actually.
Yeah, he was, used to carry the soup every day by hand across the freeway, and silently asked for my help in carrying that soup, which I didn't. I was off and running instantly. So, as you can imagine, as the corporation gets, the nonprofit corporation gets larger, that it would tend to drift away from the homeless origin that it had. And so there have been numerous complaints by myself and others as to daily operations of the facility and on and on.
I was out there at the Homeless Service Center, which is now completely torn up as the... Both the neighboring family center is built, which has gotten a lot of praise from outgoing client advocate Karen Brock, who, by the way, left. She had her last day on Friday.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Well, I can save it. Yeah. I was a little interested because all of a sudden, here you are going to ask her about community service referrals, and she's out. She's out of a job the next day. I'm going, what happened, Huff? What happened?
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, it is true that there are numerous community service projects, and Huff has been one of them, that people have been referred to over the years. And it's, I think it's helpful for all concerned. She's been a wonderful worker. I don't agree with her on all her views. I know that a lot of people are more critical of the Homeless Service Center's abilities, its decisions, the decision-making process, the priorities of financial spending. She hasn't gone into a lot of that. But she's, as an individual, she's been extremely accessible. She's been very helpful, and really hard to find much to criticize about Karen Brock. I do criticize people, as you know, fearlessly, or let's just say fearfully.
I wasn't actually going to criticize her. Right. I was going to say that one of the things that's kind of funny is that she's got the title of case worker. if she didn't have that title, what she does is actually pretty good. But when she has the title case worker and she doesn't handle any homeless cases as such, then it gets us wondering what the hell is she doing for
a
living.
Does she have that title? I used it, but I'm really, I was kind of, she may have a different title, advocate or something. Does she have the title?
That's one of her job titles, yeah.
But she's gone. She's gone south to, I guess, take care of either a sister or mom or relative down there. And so she's doing some other work now. And she was actually quite relieved to get out of town, although I know she put in, you know, years of effort here. Just really impressed with her. So you're, again, I was talking about you and your projects. Let's flatter you a bit here,
One of the backgrounds, you know, I went to Nicaragua to catch up on some agriculture projects.
A couple years ago?
This was last winter. Uh-huh. But I go down there perennially. I probably actually can't go down there again because it'll take in so many years for them to heal from the Bush administration that I might as well, you know, do it by mail, do what I do by mail. Mm-hmm. In the process of traveling, I travel overland by bus.
You don't fly by presidential jet?
In fact, I don't even take some of the fancier buses. I'll take local buses, distances. Instead.
Donkey cart any part of the way?
No, but you have to sometimes, you actually are forced to take some of their bicycle rickshaws at the border. I mean, if you don't, they will mob you for business. So even though I thought it was very bourgeois, I finally condescended in some places to get on their
Did you offer to trade places with the rickshaw driver and give that?
That's
person?
A good idea. Although he'd say what you know he'd be nervous. I think he'd say no.
Trust
no.
you with his rickshaw, yeah. His pedicab.
Hasn't begun to pay it off yet.
How many times have you been down there?
Let's see. Well, I've been down there quite a few times. I've been down there, I'd have to count, but my first time I was on my way to Brazil.
What year was that?
A long time ago. That was, I don't know, 1995 or 1994.
So, but all this was after the Somozas and the Sandinistas, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I spent, my father worked in Costa Rica for 2.5 years, so we, you know, Nicaragua's next door, but with the advertising they provided for Nicaragua, I had no interest in visiting, you know, they found my not interested wavelength, you know, of information, how to tell me something about Nicaragua, so I would not be interested in.
What did your father do?
He's a retired diplomat.
And so what years were you in Costa Rica with your father?
That was 69 through 72.
So that was during the Somoza regime in Nicaragua.
Somoza had already been assassinated. Somoza was assassinated, you know.
Well, there was the elder Somoza was assassinated, then the younger Somoza was in power until 1978. Or 79. I think it was 79.
I haven't heard about that.
But you've been down there since, and you've seen what have you seen down there that might be of relevance to those of us up here?
Oh yeah. The pervasive
situation for people outside.
Yeah. The homeless lessons I've been learning up here, you know, and the sensitivity to them, of course, living in the issues, were brought to me again. You know, no avoidance of that, going to Central America and seeing the really serious poverty, and, you know, in traveling, and the hopes, almost as if we are, you know, Nordic gods, you know, the hopes that Americans bring to them monetarily, that somehow we will be the salvation for their problems.
Well, you are tall and white, Glenn. We have to say this right now. So have you ever considered becoming a god?
If I successfully conclude this project, I will have to disappear, shall we say.
I see.
I'm
not sure I do see, but go ahead.
No, I'm hoping what my goal is, if this is successful, it will be instantly imitated all over the world, and the changes will be immediate.
Well, before we turn to your project, which frankly I regard as somewhat cranky, I got to tell you that offhand, but that doesn't mean anything. My view is irrelevant. It is your view, and whether it's successful, that's the question.
Yeah.
I I want to explore a little further your own experiences in traveling and also when you returned here. I mean, to me, I've been to Nicaragua once. I went down there in 1987 in February, March, and April with a group called Bikes Not Bombs. We traveled by bus, and we got stranded in Mexico City for a while, but then we fixed up the bus and headed south, and we had interesting encounters with the Honduran Gestapo and all the other little, you know, death squad types that are lining the roads as you go through there. We had to we claimed to be going to Costa Rica to a mission with our bikes. We were actually going, of course, to deliver bikes to the Sandinista government and provide, which we presume are going to distribute them to the people there, because that seemed to be to some extent what they were doing. But what your last trip down there was this winter?
Yeah, the you know, I'm a little hesitant to talk about it simply because the situation does not match the reality we live in up here, in the sense that Nicaragua is engaging in a complex way of doing things. In other words, it's not abiding by the same territorial lines that we
have.
You're
saying they don't
have
a sleeping ban in, let's say, Managua that would eliminate
criminal
sleepers after 11 o'clock at night?
They have adequate money for their needs without heavy employment dues, but they can't really advertise this to the outside world, because the first thing any American-associated person is going to do is find out how come they have free money and we don't have free money. So,
which brings us to your project.
Yeah.
Free money. Now, don't laugh, everybody. Here's a man who may be revolutionizing your world. Though, frankly, I don't quite understand this proposal. Maybe you can clarify it for.
Well, it's not simple because we live in a technological era. But the advantage of a technological era is that it allows free money a lot easier. Why? Because the government doesn't have to print the dollar bills.
You're talking about kind of money through like a Instateller type card, that sort of thing.
Right, an ATM debit card using what's called a reader, which is this little swipe machine that you know you run your credit card or your debit card through your ATM card.
Hasn't this been criticized? I think I know this proposed for welfare at one point. Okay. It was really attacked as some kind of way of, you know, tracking and, you know, identifying and actually
oh, you mean
nitpicking.
Like 666, you know, the number of the beast, you know.
Well, not quite like that, but more like fingerprinting, you know. Like, you know, you have to, suddenly you're part of a huge data bank, and suddenly the police have access to all kinds of information, your medical records that they might not otherwise have.
Well, one of the concerns I have, of course, is that I don't want to provide a legal means by which the usual authorities inspect on accounts. One of the guidelines I'm going to be using is that the only way an IRS official can enter a bank account is based on potential interest that is not being withheld on. There's what's called backup withholding that is used on interest on accounts.
Well, let's jump back to what you're actually proposing. You're proposing not just a proposal for homeless people, but a proposal for the entire society. Is this?
Well, on a longer term basis, one of the nice things about being homeless, finally, is that the core group of homeless people who will initiate this project have a dire need for money, and anybody can recognize that they have a dire need for money, and there's no question that they have a dire need for money.
Why should these bums get money? Why don't they go out and get a good job? What's your problem there, Glenn? Can't get any work, and now you're going to make everybody else pay for you. Come on, get off the goddamn feeding trough. What's happening here?
Well, Santa Cruz, you know, I mean,
at the same time,
there's no jobs. You know, I mean, there's no jobs. You know,
Wait a minute, what about McDonald's? What about Taco Bell? Come on, show a little spunk, son. There are plenty go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that HCRC is, you know, this is one of the things we probably did ourselves. It does not cater to the working homeless person. It does not assist the working homeless person.
The homeless service center at the Coral Street.
So even though, you know, we kind of set it up for ourselves who are not working, because the homeless people who congregate here eventually are, you might not say chronic, that's a bad word, but we've been homeless long enough so that's our way of life, you know. And by that time, you know, employment's kind of an iffy thing. So we're not out there, you know, trying to get a job all the time. You know, we get a job when we need a job, and you know, and something like that.
And the rest of the time, you're sponging off the community, or else sleeping in the street, right?
Actually, most of the time we're spending hiding from people worried about we're sponging off the community. We're sitting on the street.
Well, yeah, I actually haven't seen you sleeping in the street yet, but I've got my camera ready, Glenn. I know what's going on here. We're talking with Glenn Rabinold, who's an individual who's done work with HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, a fine organization I've been with for 15 years now. God, we've been around that long. If you're interested in Huff, you can come to a Huff meeting Wednesday morning, 8:30, Baker Square, a pie shop and restaurant on Ocean Street, 1107 Ocean Street to be exact. Check it out or give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833 for a dated but still relevant message, kind of more information probably than you wanted to know, or maybe not. Glenn, so money, free money. I mean, I think I talked to you before about, I know some people have talked about having Santa Cruz script that's spent locally. Is this anything like that? Or?
No, this actually came out of my my failed trip to Central America, because I had so many plans of cooperative endeavor with Sandinistas, and had hoped to form the kind of credit union down there that would allow generation of capital for purposes outside of Nicaragua in addition to their own needs.
You were a communist dupe for the Sandinistas?
Well, I wasn't really allowed to be anything. I mean, I was pigeonholed and labeled an American fascist as soon as I, you know, got my visa. And verbally, I was given 2 days to stay in the country. So this shot my plans to hell right fast.
This was this year or last year?
This winter.
So, but you have had contacts with the Sandinistas before. I know the Sandinistas still exist as a party in Nicaragua, in spite of the fact that Ortega suffered some significant personal deflating or defaming, and the group lost power. It lost power in an election to Chamorro, I believe, in 1990 or thereabouts.
If I don't know if any of your information is since I went down there, I would be interested to see what's happened since, because it was in a precarious arrangement. I looked into the net afterwards to see maybe what it, you know, the events that might have other events might have contributed to what occurred, but. I would say that, like I say, they're engaged in a complex struggle. I think that having gotten to know me personally, they may have decided that Americans were not a simple people, and that they were not going to be a simple people in return.
Well, now you're saying they. Now, did you actually, like, the Sandinistas are not in power in Nicaragua?
Right.
These are conservative. Well, I don't know. They're not. They're not.
They're not
the majority
an overtly,
party.
No. What I was going to say is that they are. I think. They don't have the Sandinista Party is not the federal position. It's similar to Mitterrand. Mitterrand was a socialist elected to the presidency of France, but he was sitting on top of capitalist regional elected officers.
But I don't
throughout.
Think there's not a Sandinista president currently.
No, I'm saying in reverse.
Though.
In reverse, that they have a tendency to elect a capitalist president sitting on municipal leaders, which are the equivalent of our state governors.
So are you saying that there hasn't been privatization of the Sandinista enterprises? I mean, I frankly have not been keeping up with it.
Well, the truth of the matter is, I don't know why they dropped all this on me, but one family who is hardcore Sandinista, who both the father and the mother fought, you know, in the war.
Someone you stayed with, or someone you were friends
well,
with?
Well, they wanted me to stay there. I was given a nice little cabin to stay in. I was quite
this
comfortable.
In Managua, or?
No, this was on another smaller town. Mm-hmm. And I was in another, but the bus system's pretty good, so you can get from one to another pretty quickly. It's all in that part of Nicaragua, population concentration is pretty much all in that area.
I want to hear about this place you stayed at, but let me just quickly, for the background, ask you, are there still, and I probably should go on the internet to get some other opinions on this, but are there still significant social services being provided for that, such as the ones that were provided by the Sandinistas for poor people down there,
well,
education,
there
health,
was,
so forth?
You know, there was the day I got there, somebody had engaged in a rifle assault of the university, and when they got to Managua.
Well, meaning on some official or on a private party? Or?
Well, my observations were that it was a military issue weapon that the person used. But the person was supposedly a student, but this was, you know.
What was their objective?
This was during their summer months.
Were they politically aligned? Was there an objective there? Were they trying to overthrow this?
There was complaints over the cost of living increase for professors. They were not providing their contractually required cost of living increases. The same strike
this
that occurred
a dissident
here.
Professor?
No, this was apparently an independent student body who was supporting the professor's right to receive full pay because their education is compromised, of course, so the professors aren't getting their contractual amounts and all that on and on.
Right. So this is a particular thing, but do you have any general sense about what's the situation in healthcare and education? Do you have any general sense about that in Nicaragua?
Well,
you might not. I'm not expecting you to have a full knowledge of all
this. I didn't see any real change in their health status. I did see a problem emerging. They had withstood the growing of sugarcane. They are now growing sugarcane. Accompanied to the growing of sugarcane is the use of alcohol. They have sales of grain alcohol, I should say, of alcohol that's related somehow for some reason to the. I link those in my mind that they're distilling alcohol out of some of the cane sugar or the sorghum, perhaps that they replaced the.
Aside from the booze situation, the food scene is. I know, for example, in Venezuela, there's an election today, a referendum on Chavez, Hugo Chavez, which is, you know, big news all over, particularly in the left-wing press, and also even to some extent in the mainstream media. I actually saw an article in today's Sentinel, which talked about, said no matter what result the election is going to show, it's going to show democracy actually in operation. Down there, Chavez is accused of, by the right wing, of throwing a lot of money to the poor so they will vote, they will vote for him. And the left says, and this is what I tend to agree with based on my readings, I'm going to be reading something about this later, maybe asking for your comments, that a whole new series of services has been started, which he tried to begin in 1998 by passing through the legal process, going past one coup and then one huge managerial orchestrated strike and lockout, and finally this latest round of U.S.-funded so-called opposition by the small middle class and the even smaller upper class in Venezuela. So it's, you know, it's an important issue down there. That's happening at the same time as we're speaking, this referendum on Chavez, should he be retained in office. But in Nicaragua,
well, one of the things I was also noticing when I traveled down there is, contrary to what people say, certain countries take much better care of their environment than other countries. And it is a clear line of distinction what countries do. One of the visible differences between Nicaragua and Honduras is that Nicaragua takes care of its land. There is no deforestation of significant amounts in their forests, whereas Honduras is almost completely denuded.
But let me return to the issues that are really. I'm all for the environment and all that, but I'm also, the human environment really is my beat here, and I'm concerned about, do people have enough food? Are they getting medical services? Are things deteriorating or improving? I've asked that, so maybe I should move on to the next thing.
What I did seem to notice was won't say that conditions had deteriorated. I mean, it depends what people call deterioration. It looks as though they'd had mortality because they have a garrison. They have a series of garrisons in Iraq supporting the Bush administration, probably to pay back their moral debt to the Republicans of the United States for having fought them for 10 years. So, they are visibly losing soldiers. I think I first thought they were killed. I think they're probably just tying into some economy somewhere else. They're gaining functionality outside of Nicaragua, and they're not coming back. So they're losing a lot of their muscle. They now have boxing champions. I think they have four world title boxing champions in Nicaragua, replacing.